Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Lead to that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through. Oh, God can. Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Lead to that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through. Oh,
God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him.
Good morning. Good morning. And it looks like I can hear it in the background. This has been a crazy morning. Look like there's some technical problems with this show because it keeps playing the song over and over again. So hopefully that has gotten it. I want to say welcome to Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. And certainly Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. I do apologize for the technical errors that we've had this morning. It has been a little crazy, but we are going to go on with the time that we have, and we're going to talk and continue this series. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carrion, and this is Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly we have been doing some big and powerful things. We have been talking about living holy in a sinful world, and this is the fourth installment in this series. And this series is Christ Conquers Sin. Christ Conquers Sin. Living to Live Again. And basically today we're just talking about spiritual circumcision or spiritual maturity, spiritual development. And I encourage all of you that have tuned in to this line. Again, I want to say I'm sorry for the confusion and the delays because I too had to hang up and call back into the show. Look like the song, my theme song, is just keep playing over and over again. And then it says I'm on air and I'm not on air. So we thank God because he does all things well, and I don't know why this occurred, but we certainly know that God is able and he does things to his benefit and his glory, and those things that he does, we are grateful. So we're going to get into it. I've already talked about the theme of what we're talking about today, the overall theme, and the word that we're getting, we're going to get in today. Now, if you have any questions, you know my cell phone number, and I tell it at the end of this broadcast. Okay, so we're going to Colossians. We're going to Colossians 2, verses 10 through 15, and they read, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." Thank God for those that have come back onto the line. I was saying, for those of you that just blogged in or came on the line, that we've been having technical troubles this morning. But we're going to move forward and we're going to do what it is that we have to do. So we in Colossians, second chapter, verses 10 through 15, and they read, "And ye are complete in him, which is in the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and pulling off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And ye, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgive all your transgressions, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Triumphing over them in it. So basically, this is again the fourth segment, and we've been talking about this segment. It's called Christ Conquers Sin, Living to Live Again. Certainly, in other words, spiritual circumcision or spiritual development, growth and development, 101, if you want to call it that. But the overall theme of this month has been living holy in a sinful world. And of course, we've been dealing with it. We've been breaking it up. We've talked about the overall theme. We hit it. We talked about our flesh. We talked about that there's no good thing in our flesh. Then I came on last week and talked about the mindset of the sin nature, the impact that it has on us and our conscience, and how this heart is deceitfully wicked, and how we operate in stuff because the heart is deceitful. And that, you know, a lot of times if we allow our hearts and our minds to lean over to the dark side, Star Wars, right? Lean over to the dark side, or allow that stuff to build in us, what you will have is murderers and killers and people that operate out of their flesh and operate out of that nature, that sin nature that is, if you don't control it, will dominate you and have you doing stuff that you never believed or thought that you would do in your life. But that's sin. That's Satan. So we looked at living holy in a sinful world, working out our soul salvation, the psychological impact or effects of the sin nature, the flesh, and the necessity for purifying the flesh. So now we're talking about on today spiritual circumcision. So when we look at spiritual circumcision, It's the cutting away of your sinful nature. So, extra, extra. Read all about it. Christ conquers sin. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Christ conquers sin. So when we look at spiritual circumcision, it's like I said, it's the cutting away of that sinful nature, and we have literally set it out on a platter for you to understand that part and that nature. So if you haven't listened to my blogs, you can go back and just text me and say, Dr. Carey, how do I do it? I've repeated over and over again. But if you don't understand, then I'll give you the information. So when we look at the chapter in Colossians 2, you know, Paul is stressing the fact that Christ died, and so dwelleth. He talks about the fact that Christ in the scripture, it says, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and 9. So Jesus was truly God in the flesh, and we see in scriptures, and one of the examples of those scriptures is John 1 through 14. And when we look at Godhead, the Godhead means deity, means the state of being God. So we understand that God or Christ was with the Father in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned. God was there. God said, look, you know, I will volunteer and make this right that Adam messed up. So Adam was the first son, but Christ was the last and the second son that would redeem us from our sins. Adam got us in sin. Jesus got us out of sin. So we've been talking about pulling down those strongholds. We've talking about living in this world, how messed up this world is. Certainly, if we look at what's going on, we can truly say that we're living in the last days. And certainly, if we look at what's going on the news, and yes, I told you guys that I try to turn it off, and I haven't seen the news in a couple of days, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, I know the events is going on, but I don't make them my God, and certainly I don't make them watch them every day to be fearful, because I know who holds my hand, and I know that God is in control, and therefore because I know God is in control, I trust him that he's going to bring me out, and he's going to, and I'm going to be on top. So we've been looking at all of this. So Paul emphasizes the magnitude of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the fulfillment. He's looking at the fact that because of the significance of the fact that Christ died on the cross and he rose up, there is complete power. He brings the power of completeness, and he exhibits that and gives that to every believer, that incarnation, which is available to all believers because Christ died, because he rose. So when we look at Colossians, go back to the first chapter, and we look at in Colossians, the 16th verse, it asserts that Christ created all things, including all principalities and powers, which refers to those evil spirits. But Colossians also states, however, Christ has the preeminence or the control or the authority over all evil powers, over all evil forces, over all that's going on. And we can find that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, verses 9 through 11. And I'm going to read those. But Paul here invokes the imagery of circumcision. Now, circumcision in the Old Testament is the cutting away of the foreskin. Jewish boys at eight days old, they were only 8 days old, literally 8 days, not months, but days, by Mosaic law, and you can find that in Leviticus 12 and 3, the males had to be circumcised. So the cutting of the foreskin, of the genitals, and this was a symbol. This marked the male children as belonging to God. It was a sign of completeness. It was a sign of their devotion to God. It was a sign that they belonged to Christ. It was a sign that they were his. So, when we look at this, and of course, Deuteronomy 10 and 16 shows this or tells this. But when Paul came on the scene, the Gentiles began to turn to Jesus. So the Lord opened it up to us, the Bible opened up salvation to the Gentiles, and Paul was one that preached to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were saying, do we need to be circumcised to be in that relationship with Christ Jesus? But Paul was letting them know that no, they do not, because it is a different time. It's a different dispensation. The Gentiles, because you're turning to Jesus, it's not necessary for you to have a circumcision, because you simply only need to come to Christ and you are changed by grace through faith. So the old physical circumcision that was in the Old Testament is no longer needed in this day and time. It's another dimension. It's another way to get to Christ. However, that foreskin no longer needs to be cut, but then there is a new dimension. There's a new covenant. It's a new covenant relationship with Christ Jesus. However, the greater circumcision of the heart now was needed. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. So, that greater circumcision was now called the circumcision of Christ. So what does it mean? So we're not living in the Old Testament. The males would have to be, their foreskin at 8 days old was cut. But now we're living in a new time. Christ came, he died. And because he died, because he in fact conquered sin, because he brought a new way for us to live, we don't have to do those things. We can now be circumcised in our hearts, and we can allow a deeper relationship with Christ Jesus. So now I'm calling it, and I'm started out calling it spiritual circumcision. And when you look at the cutting away, what that translates in our time is spiritual development and or maturity in Christ Jesus. So we're talking about Christ conquered sin. We're emphasizing Colossians 2 and 13. The scripture reads, "And you shall be dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your faith, has he quickened together with him, forgiving all your transgressions." We thank God that Christ paid it all. We thank God that we don't have to live in our mess anymore. As believers, we have overcome sin because the Lord is on our side. All we need to do is to repent of our sins and accept Christ as our Savior, and now we have a relationship with Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 2:1 says that we're dead to sin. And when we look at the Greek word that translates sins, and then it translates into trespasses. T-R-E-S-P-A-S-S-E-S. It emphasizes deliberately the disobedience and the unfaithfulness of God. The phrase uncircumcision of your flesh then points to the hearer's identity as Gentiles outside the old covenant. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. So when we look at the flesh, when we look at this world, and we look at now that we are alive in Christ Jesus, He has taken on our problems, our sins, and He's nailed them to the cross, and all of our trespasses have been forgiven. God's act of pardoning sins demonstrates the grace of God's forgiveness. Now, God's forgiving all my transgressions shows the extent of God's grace and how He completely removes sins in us. However, we're living in a sinful world. We're living in a world that does not act like, or does not show, or does not seem like they want anything parts of Christ. So, and even with our interaction with people and the world, this requires a spiritual maturity. Now, when we're looking at circumcision, and we've talked about all that and given those high words, the bottom line is growing up spiritually in Christ Jesus. The bottom line is choosing to live out our lives as representatives of Christ Jesus and displaying His fruits of the Spirit, which are found in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, and they read, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law." So what is spiritual maturity? It's the process where a person, of course, it started when we accepted Christ Jesus as our Savior. Now we're no longer children of darkness, but we've become children of light. So there is a way that we walk. We talked about on last week the mindset, but we also talked about the Word of God and how it's quick and powerful, and how it would take us that mindset of murder, stealing, thievery, and change us into a vessel that's respectful, a vessel that is of honor, a vessel that loves and walks upright before people and before God. Now, when we look at Paul, and Paul in Philippians 13, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14, he talks about that I have already obtained all this, or have he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect in my ways, but I take hold to that which Christ took hold of me. So I'm forgetting those things that's behind me, but I'm reaching, I'm pushing forward. I'm pushing forward in Christ Jesus. I'm pushing forward in His Word. I'm pushing forward to understand Christ better, that I may live and that a better and holy life, and that a life that I don't have to fear, that a life where I don't have to be afraid to walk out my door. You know, this mindset, when we talk about spiritual maturity, we keep going back to Romans 12 and 1, verses 1 and 2, which says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We begin to understand that we've been bought with a price. The scripture keeps pointing to the fact that Christ died for our sins. We don't have to be bound by our habits, by our issues, by our hang-ups, but we must walk in a way that will help us understand and live this life that is pleasing to God. That's what it says, holy and pleasing to God. This is your act of worship. This is the way I honor God. This is the way I offer up praises to Him. When somebody wants to tell me off or somebody wants to curse me out, and I say, God bless you, that I don't respond, but I react in love. You know, and I pray for them. Now, the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, I can silently say, I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Because the spirit of God that operates in me, yes, it has the authority over every principality, every demonic spirit. That's what the scripture is saying. It says, I have risen and I have all power. And because you, my child, because you're walking in my ways, because you're standing on the book, the word of God, which is the book, then you can say what you will, and it's going, you can, out of your mouth, you can speak a thing and God will give it to you. Because you're striving to walk upright before Him. You're striving to walk in obedience to God. You're striving to choose to live by God's viewpoint rather than the human viewpoint. You're striving. You're striving to put into play Galatians 5 and 16, which says, then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if we skip over to 25, it says, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we're striving to walk in the Spirit, if we want the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us, to really fulfill us to God's purpose, then we have to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. We have to walk in a way that honors God. We have to walk in a way that's not sinful. We can't act any way and every way and expect God will be pleasing with us. It's not going to work. We are part spirit, and because God is a spirit, we have to allow the spirit part of us to be dominant and take over the flesh part of us that will want to lie, kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, it will. So when we look at walking in the Spirit, so that means, the Greek word there means to walk with a purpose. And when we see the walk in verse 25, that means step by step. So we're walking with a purpose, step by step, not to fulfill sinful desires of our flesh, not to walk out after this world that says, give me, give me, give me. You steal and kill to achieve. You don't be nice to people. This is a cut world. This is you, in order to make it, you have to steal, you have to kill, you have to connive, you have to lie in order to make it in this world. But Christ is saying, that's not my way. I live this life. I walk it day by day. I allow the Spirit of the Lord God to instruct me, to give me understanding. Now, how do I allow the Lord, the Spirit of God, to instruct me? Well, those of you that are on this broadcast this morning, this is it, is listening to the word, is allowing this word of God to show itself strong in you. But let's get the scriptures, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to tell you in scriptures, because that's how I operate. It's scripture for me. It says 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Instructions in righteousness. Y'all get that? 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. We can't be perfect unless we in this word and allowing this word of God to correct us, to show us our shortcomings, to check us when we do stuff out of character. You know, there's some attributes. I talked about God's attributes, and one of God's attributes is that he's love. Well, another attribute is that God is that he tells the truth. There's no white lies. Ooh. Oh, my bad. There's no white lies in living right. There's none. We have to stand for the truth. We have to say what's right. Sometimes it's probably best you say nothing. Better than to tell a white lie. Or pray about it and ask God, how do I respond? Because I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing where it says that all scriptures are God given, that are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. Every good work. And this is practical instructions on how to become spiritually mature. It's not by osmosis. It's done by choosing to apply the word of God in everyday situations. As we walk step by step, applying God's word to your life, you grow up spiritually. And I want you to take a note. Those of you that listen to my blog on a regular basis, I want you to go to the store. I want you to get a journal, and I want you to put today's date on it, and I want you to keep a journal. I want you to keep, if you're not already getting the Bible devotional scripture a day, you need to do that every morning. And we've talked so often about reading that scripture of the day. And in doing so, what is that scripture telling you to do? Write it down. Write it down and make it plain. Write it down in your journal. Write down your prayer time. I encourage each and every one to pray every day. Pray at least three times a day, because prayer is a necessity on how we're going to make it in this last day and times. Walking step by step and applying God's word to your life, grow spiritually. And of course, as a babe, we start out as infants, and you start out with milk. But then we've got to get to the point in Hebrews 5 and 13, where Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, that we're off milk. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And it's okay to be a babe, but we're striving to be mature. We're striving to hear. Even myself, I want to go deeper and deeper in God's word, deeper in God's anointing, deeper in God's spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Give me a deeper understanding. Give me a deeper revelation. Let me hold my mouth when I want to speak up. Let me be quiet. Let me be still. Let me hear your voice. Hallelujah. And in order to hear his still small voice, you've got to quiet yourself. You've got to find time in the Word. You've got to apply this book to everyday situations. You've got to read it. You've got to hunger and thirst for righteousness, just like the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 talks about. Because in order for you to get where you need to get, in order for you to survive in this last and evil time in our lives, you've got to be acquainted with the book. You've got to know the Bible inside and out. If you got cue cards, write the Word on the cue cards. If you got stickies, write the Word on a little sticky. When you get up in the morning and you start brushing your teeth, you see a sticky that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, while you're brushing your teeth. You know when I get excited. Y'all hear it in my voice. And that's what the Word does. It gets me excited. It gives me joy. When I'm feeling sad, when I feel like I can't make it, the Word of God comes along and it refreshes me. It gives me joy. It picks me up. It says to me, hallelujah, bless God, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we've talked about senses. We've talked about the five senses. We've talked about having those senses guarded, because this is a spiritual battle. We are not fighting a flesh and blood battle. We are fighting a spiritual battle. That's why we have to be spiritually mature, because Satan is going to come at us through that sin nature, but the fight is spiritual. Like I said, the fight is spiritual. Hallelujah. So when we look at meat in this particular scriptures, as believers, you are not to be milk fed. Instead, you are called to chew on meat. Now, it's okay to start off as a babe, but that's why you need to be in Bible study. That's why you need to be in Sunday school. That's why you need to hear the Word of God. The Word of God should be playing on everything you got, because you're young, you on milk. You don't understand what it means to fight the good fight. You don't understand faith. You don't understand what it means to live godly. You don't understand what it means to walk upright. You don't understand those things. But you read the Word of God. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing the Word, understanding the Word, allowing the Word to give you practicality in your everyday life. We're talking about spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. So we get to meat. That's our goal, to chew on meat. And the higher we go with God, the greater the fight. So when we study to show ourselves approved unto God, then we also allow and become acquainted with the Spirit of God and allow that gift to infill us and lead us into all truth. So 2 Peter, and I'm not going to read all these verses, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I want you to read it. This group of scriptures remind us that God is the source. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who he called us by his own glory and goodness, though these he has given us his very great and precious gifts, so that through them you may participate in divine nature and escape the corruption of the world that causes evil desires. And I'm reading some of the scripture here. But the bottom line is that we have a way of escape through Christ Jesus. We don't have to die in our sins. And, of course, one day we will die. We will leave this world, and there is another realm that we're going to. The word is true. If you don't believe it, I just tell you to try them just for a minute. God has made the heavens. God has made the world that we're living in. God, everything that we see, God has made. And in doing so, we have to walk a certain way so that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. So when we're talking about growing in Christ, we talk and we see that the word, we continue to grow, we continue to learn, we continue to allow this word to give us confidence. And once we have confidence in the word, we allow and we walk in obedience to his word. And some of the evidence of Christian growth is the maturity, is love, the fruits of the Spirit, acting in the fruits of the Spirit and showing those fruits of the Spirit in everyday life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for those that were on the line. I thank you, God, that for those that will hear this word. I pray, God, that you're sanctified, that you move in this word of God. God, we know, God, forgive us of all our unrighteousness, Father God. Forgive us for everything that we've done that's not like you. We pray even now, God, that you're moving us. We pray, God, that every believer that doesn't know you and the pardons of their sin, that will hear this blog and repent of their sins and know that you are in the saving business, that they need to walk in a way, step by step, everyday life that edifies you and glorifies you. And God, certainly you've given us the power because Christ conquers sin. And because Christ conquers sin, we are living to live again. And certainly this is not the last and final step for us. This is just part one. And part two is after this. And Father God, I want to pray for each and every one of those, God, that are experiencing a loss in their family. I pray, God, that you would touch their minds. I pray, God, that the spirit of their departed loved one will be a constant comfort to them, Father God. I pray, God, that they know, God, that that you are in control and you do all things well. And God, there's nothing that you can't heal. There's no problem. There's no sickness. There's no hurt that you can't heal, that you are there to comfort their hearts and their minds. And God, those that are sick, those that need a touch, God, I pray even now, God, that you'll touch them, God. Touch me, God, even in my body, God. You know the need, and we pray even now, God, that you strengthen in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray, God, that you move mightily, God. I pray, God, that you save, deliver, set free in the name of Jesus. God, I'm crying out for your people on today. I'm crying out for every listener that listens to this blog and those that will listen, God. I pray, God, for the ministry, God. I pray, God, that you deliver, God. I pray, God, that you set the captives free in the name of Jesus. God, heal, deliver, set them free. God, I'm crying right now in the name of Jesus. God, move, move, move. Even all those that are sick right now, you said by your stripes we're healed. We're claiming healness right now in the name of Jesus. Touch, deliver, set free, God. You said it, God, and we believe it by faith. We're walking in your authority and we speak, by the authority that you have given us, we decree and we declare in Jesus' name. We declare, Satan, you have no authority right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life. I speak life. I speak deliverance in Jesus' name. We pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your wonderful name, and we thank you for this blog. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, each and every one. The time has far spent, and I am over the time, but I certainly want to say this. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, you can give me a call at 309-750-7584. And there, you can leave a message, you can leave a question you may have with any of the tapings or any of the word that was spoken or any of the information that I have given you over the time, over all these blogs or even the month, because they are themed topics, and certainly I want to be able to give you understanding and walking upright before the Lord. So we're striving for spiritual maturity, and we're striving to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. So that being said, I will see you on next week. Be blessed, because you are blessed, and continue to know that God loves you. Bye-bye.